The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Coach Harbaugh, you guys have now won three straight Big Ten championships. How does it feel? Bet!
Toss sweep right. Dylan Johnson cuts upfield. Oh, he's going to go across the 35-30. He slides down to the 25. The Huskies are going to win the Pac-12 championship. Dylan Johnson did it. He picked up a first down, and the Huskies are going to the college football playoff.
Do you believe it, Huskies? I believe, baby!
Mission accomplished for the Texas Longhorns. They have swept through the Big 12 Conference. The Texas Longhorns are the 2023, and for the last time in their school history, Big 12 Conference champions.
Jalen getting the snap, taking the knee, and the white flag has been waved from the Georgia sideline. And what do you say, folks? Let's get out of here! Bama, a winner over the Georgia Bulldogs, claiming the SEC title for the 30th time in school history. Keep us out. I dare you.
Well, Chris Stewart of the Crimson Tide Sports Network providing the challenge and College Football Playoff Committee answered, giving us Alabama, Texas, Washington, and Michigan in the semifinals. That's how we got here. That's all set for January 1st, New Year's Day. What was certainly a controversial selection Sunday leading us to the national championship picture. Thanks, by the way, to Learfield, not only for those cuts, but all of our cuts during the show this year. Michael Butler, we got here, but not without a little dissension.
Now, the most, I think, since year one of the committee's first field of four, and our last field of four. We're going on to that expanded playoff. But I'll bring up something. There's been a lot of chatter out there. One coach I heard speak, who's Brian Kelly at LSU, whose team played both Florida State and Alabama, that's who it ultimately came down to for the fourth spot, said there are four spots. There are five power five champions. Not everybody gets in. And in the end, who was better? If it came down to Alabama and Florida State as they were at the end of the season, which is something else that Kelly noted, I think most people agree that that was it, that they got the right team.
The other thing you heard in our open had to do with something that Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh said. He yelled the word bet, meaning bet against us. That's kind of been their theme since going through the season, and they've had some interesting things happen to them this year.
Plenty of it. Yeah, the Connor Stallions thing and Jim Harbaugh being on the sideline even before that came out at the beginning of the year. He'd only coached half of the games this year during the regular season, 6 of the 12. But I look at the entire field. There were so many teams that had a chance going into the end. That made it exciting. There are others that have claims that they belonged. You can mention Georgia, obviously. Ohio State could even say, hey, we're as good as some of those teams. Just because you're undefeated doesn't mean you're better than some of these one-loss teams.
Yeah, and we will see Florida State. I understand they will show up for the Orange Bowl. At least that's what I've been told. Well, this is our season-ending Lindy show, getting you ready for New Year's Day bowl games. But let's hear a little levity. We need some.
Hey, guys, I got a quick phone call. Connor Stallion's beeping in right here. I'm trying to get a few signals here, so I got to go. But as soon as we get done, you know, look forward to competing against Ryan Day, and we'll go from there.
That's Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of Missouri, having a little fun with the Connor Stallion. If you don't know who he is the one that has been doing the so-called spying for the Michigan Wolverines.
He's the fall guy.
He has been, yes.
Yeah. Eli, thank you very much. That was fun. Good lighthearted humor here that we kind of needed because everybody's got their feelings hurt.
I don't even want to go into that too much because it'll stir up some more emotions.
Well, there's no way to make everybody happy, right? No. It never works out.
You've heard of a square peg round hole. You can't put five teams in four spots. It's just not possible. Well, our preview of the college football playoff semifinals begins with Texas, which won its last Big 12 championship. It's coming since 2009. Earned its first berth in the playoff. Texas will face Washington in the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. The Longhorns got to this point due in part to their resume, which included a win over Alabama back in September. Texas coach Steve Sarkisian didn't hide the fact that the win, he believes, provided a different perspective to the committee.
I'm glad that the committee recognized that win, because I think the early season out-of-conference games like that, those marquee games, are great for college football. And we all want to play them. Believe me, we got games scheduled in the next 4 years with Michigan and Ohio State. And, our players love those games. I think they're good for your team and finding out about your team and the character of your team and the growth of your team. I think the fans love them. I know TV loves those games. You can get kind of, if you want to call it, rewarded for winning those games is great. And on the flip side for Alabama, that they don't get punished for that game. If that game wouldn't have gotten recognized in this selection, that would, I think, give people some hesitation or some pause to play those at non-conference, you know, marquee games like we were able to play this year against Alabama, and we'll be able to do now moving forward in the future.
Some might say that Texas has lived off that Alabama win. That was way back in September. I think that's a big reason why they're in.
That's their marquee win. There's no doubt about it. And they were definitely not going to be overlooked because they weren't going to be jumped by Alabama. That was evident in the end. But so Florida State can be mad at Texas, too, because they're a one-loss team that jumped them as well.
Nobody seems to be wanting to bring that up.
And it could be we could get that rematch. That obviously is looking like a possibility. This time it would be in the home state of the Longhorns.
Yeah, they would have the big crowd on their side more than likely. Well, Sarkisian knows this playoff opponent quite well, coaching the Washington Huskies between 2009 and 2013. Current Huskies coach Kalen DeBoer knows playoff extremely well. He led NAIA member Sioux Falls to the postseason five times, winning three championships before heading to Fresno State in 2020. In his second year at Washington, he has the program back in the CFP for the first time since 2016. He has emphasized preparation and understanding the moment leading to the Pac-12 championship.
I think we do a very good job of preparing each and every week. And so I don't think you see it in the preparation, because I think it's always at an extremely high level. But I think there are some things that are said when the team rallies around at the end of a practice, or when we have a chance for a player-led talk, which we do every single day in practice, to where you get a feel of the vibe that exists and the chip on the shoulder that's there for our guys when maybe they're doubted. I don't mind it one bit, because it doesn't affect our confidence. We've been through too much together. We believe and trust in each other. And so having others doubt us doesn't hurt in what we believe can happen. It just adds to the fire that burns within.
Yeah, this sounds like a trend, but indeed there were a lot of people doubting this Husky team. 9-point underdogs going into the Pac-12 championship, and yet here they are playing in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, they have been the underdog all year. They've proven the skeptics wrong all season long. And I'd kind of put it on the quarterback a little bit. He's an underdog himself. Michael Penix, who was not a highly sought-out recruit out of high school, a three-star player, ranked 548th nationally among all players in his senior class. And he's going up against the flip side of that in Quinn Ewers, who was number one across the board.
That's not quite Mr. Irrelevant, but it's close, right? The Rose Bowl is the other half of this year's playoff, and it includes two of the more iconic programs in college football. When it comes to the Alabama Crimson Tide being in this position, that's old hat. This will be the eighth trip to the playoffs, but it only materialized after the rise of play of quarterback Jalen Milroe, who was benched in the South Florida game back in September. Afterwards, as stated by Chris Stewart, the voice of the Crimson Tide, Milroe and the Tide improved each week leading up to the win over Georgia in the SEC championship game.
We all know that things turn when it turned for Jalen Milroe. But I'll even go back, the attitude of the team and belief in themselves probably started without him on the field. And it happened on that final drive to close the game out against South Florida. Because as bad as that game was, it could have been worse. Now, even though that there was clear that Jalen needed to be the guy at quarterback and we were going to sink or swim with him, I think there was a belief in themselves that changed with that football team when they came off the field in that drive and go, okay, we played our worst, but we got something to hang our hats on at the end.
Chris Stewart and I talked about the fact the committee probably went into the last weekend, the championship weekend, thinking we don't have to worry about Alabama. That's why they were ranked eighth. And lo and behold, they beat Georgia. Suddenly they had to do something with them.
Yeah. If they had lost, they wouldn't have to worry about them. No, they would have been out of sight, out of mind, but they didn't. They won. And this is a little bit reminds me of what happened a few years ago. And they beat Georgia. That year, though, they had to beat Georgia again. This time, the stars have aligned somewhat. They don't have to worry about Georgia again. And I think that was their biggest threat. I really do. Jalen Milroe, excellent story. And it reminds me a little bit about the Stetson Bennett thing. Was he one of those guys that everybody thought was going to be a superstar? And look what happened there.
Not even his own team, which he left and came back, right? Well, after missing the playoffs the first 7 years of the playoff existence, the Michigan Wolverines are back for a third consecutive trip. They're still looking for their first win in the playoffs. Semifinal losses to Georgia in 21 and TCU last season are still on the mind of the players and coaches as they prepare for the Rose Bowl and Alabama. These two met in Orlando following the 2019 season, and it was in that game Coach Jim Harbaugh learned a lesson which was reiterated a year later against Georgia. The speed of the two defenses must be duplicated if Michigan is to win its first national title since the 1990s. That's the word from the former voice of the Michigan Wolverines, Jim Brandstatter.
The thing that stood out is that defense of Georgia, 10 guys were first-round draft picks. They had speed and size at linebackers, very athletic, and their outside edge guys were like, you know, condors and really good cover. Safeties that were kind of hybrid linebackers, but beat everywhere. And Jim saw that because he couldn't beat it. And so what he did is he went out and started to recruit and get the kind of defense Georgia had in their 2021 national championship run. And that's the kind of defense he's got now. His interior defensive linemen are space eaters. They clog up the middle. But it's hard to run. Their edge guys are really angular, long. They get after the quarterback very fast. Their linebackers can run like deer. And their secondary is very good with bigger, faster kind of safeties. And he saw Alabama do the same thing when their defenses were so good. You're going to see the same kind of formula that you've seen in the SEC that you've played against in Georgia. And it has worked beautifully because they're one of the top defenses in the country right now.
We've seen what Michigan can do in their 13 games they've played, but I don't think they faced a team like they've about to.
I looked at the offenses that they played in their schedule, and the best was Ohio State. There's really nobody close after that. The Big Ten offenses aren't known for being juggernauts in that department. But if the substance is there, if what Brandstatter says is correct, then maybe they are built for the challenge. The question I would have is this going to be a tainted championship if they can win it because of the sign-stealing scandal? I would say that Michigan fans don't care. It's been since 1997, and if they win the championship, they're going to wave that banner.
Indeed. And one more thing. All four teams in this year's college football playoff have a solid background, a bowl history, but none more so than the Crimson Tide. Alabama will play in its record 77th bowl game when it visits Pasadena in the Rose Bowl on January 1 to face top-ranked Michigan in the first CFP semifinal of the day. For Michigan, it will be the 51st appearance in a bowl, 21st time in the Rose Bowl. Although the Wolverines have not visited Pasadena since 2007. That's the most Rose Bowl appearances of any team from the Big Ten, second overall to the USC Trojans, who have 34 appearances, while Alabama is making its eighth appearance in the Rose Bowl. The last one was played in 2021 versus Notre Dame. Ironically, though, not in Pasadena. That season, the game was moved to Arlington, Texas due to the COVID. Including this year's game, Nick Saban has led the Crimson Tide to 23 bowls, which also counts the playoff championship appearances, but that's still one short of Alabama's appearances under Paul Bear Bryant, who between 1959 and 1982 led the Crimson Tide to 24 consecutive bowl games, which is a national record. Against the other three playoff contenders, the Tide has a combined 3-7-1 bowl record. By the way, the Longhorns have played in the Sugar Bowl four times, while Washington is making its first ever appearance in the Sugar Bowl. And as for previous meetings between Washington and Texas, the two schools have played three times. And you don't have to go back very far for the last meeting. That happened last year in the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, a win for the Huskies. Of the four, only Alabama has reached the CFP championship game, while Texas is making its first appearance in the current playoff model. For our final edition of the U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, it becomes the Catfish Catch of the Year. For that, we go back to September 30th, when the Ole Miss Rebels won a shootout over LSU on this 13-yard pass from Jackson Dart to Trey Harris with 39 seconds left in the game. Here's the call from David Kellum on the Ole Miss Radio Network.
At the 13-yard line, the Rebels with 46 seconds left in the game. Pitch near side to Harris, fakes left, goes right, breaks in the clear. He's in the end zone! Touchdown, Ole Miss!
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at Academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at Academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
How about that national scoring record from Will Reichert? Here's Michael Butler.
Who's the all-time leading scorer in sports? It's not a soccer player. In America, it's LeBron James of the NBA with nearly 40,000 points. In American football, scoring is a little more difficult, especially if you play for Iowa. Sorry, Hawkeyes. The NFL's list of leaders is a bunch of kickers, headlined by Adam Vinatieri with over 2,600 points in 20-plus seasons. In college, we have a new all-time leader. At the SEC Championship game in Atlanta, Will Reichert booted a 43-yard field goal for Alabama's first score in its win over Georgia. That kick made him the NCAA Division I leader, surpassing Navy quarterback Keenan Reynolds, who had 88 touchdowns in 4 years at Navy. Reichert, with a bonus COVID edition, is in his fifth year at Alabama. He's made 83 field goals and 293 extra points for a grand total of 539 points. He'll have a chance now to add to his record with at least one more game, and possibly two, in the college football playoff. Now with a degree in hand, Reichert is in grad school balancing his studies with football. He also married his high school sweetheart back in January. After the CFP, he'll test the waters of the NFL. Who knows? Maybe he'll make a run at Vinatieri's record. Don't worry, LeBron. You're safe.
One more time, we bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, happy holidays, and thank you for another season of the Lindy's Report.
Yeah, thanks to y'all and to the audience. And I hope that everybody will express thanks to U.S. Farm Raised Catfish and Academy Sports, our marketing partners, our program partners for several years now. And without them and without our affiliate stations, we wouldn't be able to have this show. So I hope that you'll express thanks to the affiliates on which you're listening to the show, and also to our corporate sponsors with whom we're proud to be affiliated. Seems like it was only yesterday, guys, that we were talking in August about getting started with the show, and here it is, almost Christmas.
It's almost over with. We've got a month of bowl games, and we'll get to picking some of those games here in just a minute. But first and foremost, getting the four-team playoff might have been the hardest we've had yet.
Well, it's been inherently flawed from the beginning. when they went to four. I quoted someone in a column that said college football got what it deserved, having the ultimate confusion and I think it's illogical decisions, or however they viewed it, because it never should have been set up as a five-team, as a four-team playoff to begin with. We talked about it on this show. Whenever you've got five power conferences and you've only got four chairs, then you've got a musical chairs game. And somebody is going to be disappointed and upset and feels cheated every year because you got five conferences and you've got four seats. So I think maybe it's fitting that we go out the final time for a four-team playoff with probably more disagreement than there has been in the past. And we've always had years that had disagreement on it. I've never liked four teams. I really would like eight. But it looks like we're going to go to 12, which will be better and hopefully eliminate the problems that we've got this year.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. We've got several games that we're going to talk about here, including the two big ones, the semifinal. And these games will be played that last weekend of the bowl season, December 29th through January 1st. We'll start first with the Gator Bowl between Clemson and Kentucky.
Yeah, I like Kentucky to win that game. Kentucky, you know, got kind of hot there at the end, defeated Louisville. Ended up being a factor in the way that the games played out. I'm going to take Kentucky to win that ball game.
How about the Citrus Bowl with Tennessee and Iowa?
Well, Tennessee doesn't have to score much to win based on Iowa. Iowa's got a strong defense but just can't score. I see Tennessee winning that ball game. They'll probably have a larger crowd there, and we'll see if Iowa completely points up at all. I like Tennessee.
And the ReliQuest Bowl, LSU and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm going to have trouble not calling that the Outback Bowl because they've always served the best meals on the press box of any game that we had. I don't know what the ReliQuest is going to do. I like LSU. I really don't think this will be a close game. I think that LSU will probably win this very comfortably.
They'll probably give you a loan as you leave. Music City Bowl.
Yeah, right. Hey, then maybe I need to go cover that ball game.
Maybe you should. Maryland and Auburn.
I like Auburn. I think Auburn's got better players probably overall. Very disappointed, you know, in the way that the their game with Alabama went. You know, Maryland's a decent team, and it could be a very close game. But I like Auburn to win that game.
And now for the New Year's Day six games, including the Peach Bowl, Ole Miss and Penn State.
That's going to be a good game to watch. I think this may be the first time they've ever played. I like Penn State in the game, but it's very close. I think it could go either way, but I think Penn State will win it.
And how about the Orange Bowl, Georgia and Florida State?
Well, I'm going to think Georgia. I think it's a bounce back for Georgia. Both teams very disappointed. I think Florida State probably with more reason to be disappointed than Georgia. But I don't think these Georgia guys are going to want to go out on a bad note, so I'll take Georgia.
And now for the semifinal games. First, the Sugar, Texas and Washington.
I like Texas. It could go either way. Again, that's one that I don't have a strong feeling on. I'm going to take Texas to win the ball game, but if Washington wins it, it won't be a surprise to me.
And then the Rose Bowl.
Well, I think Alabama will win. You know, I like Alabama to win the championship. So if I like them to win the championship, I certainly like them to beat Michigan. I think Alabama will be your ultimate champion.
And then your last upset special.
I'm going to the Cotton Bowl. I'm going to take Missouri to beat Ohio State. I think Missouri is one of your surprise teams in the nation. I think Coach Drinkwitz should get ACC Coach of the Year, quite frankly. I don't know why he wouldn't get National Coach of the Year. I think he deserves it for what they've done. I'll go with Missouri.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.